NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by your Ford dealer, the place you gotta go to see what's going on. Now with the news, Jim Herriot.
To mark the Tet Lunar New Year, the Saigon government has announced a 24-hour ceasefire beginning at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, Eastern Time. The American command says U.S. forces will observe the truce period. A week-long Viet Cong truce has already begun and has already been broken by the enemy at least twice, with the murder of a hamlet chief in the Central Highlands and a two-man harassment raid against the Saigon docks. A three-day ceasefire last year was shattered by the massive enemy Tet offensive across South Vietnam. Just under 2 weeks from now, President Nixon makes a one-day visit to West Berlin, and the city's mayor says he expects disruptive elements to try to exploit the situation, but West Berlin's mayor says he's convinced that Mr. Nixon's visit will take place as it should. In Paris, American Ambassador Sergeant Shriver has delivered a letter to President de Gaulle at the Élysée Palace, but Shriver would not tell newsmen who wrote the letter or what was in it. More after this from Ford.
Gene Rayburn for Ford. And if you think women's fashions have gone too far, well, you can blame it in part on designer Rudy Gernreich, inventor of the topless bathing suit and certainly the going thing in the world of fashion. When it comes to clothes, Gernreich thinks 1969 will see even more that's wild and wonderful. And when it comes to cars, we asked him what he thought of the Galaxy 500 you can get at special savings now during your Ford dealer's pop option sale.
Well, I tell you, I think it's very contemporary looking. Less chrome is involved now with good design, and Ford certainly has that. Like the front grille, which is very bold looking. And the interior, the cockpit, just gives it a very personal touch. It's just a beautifully designed car, and it handles beautifully.
My dear lady, that beautiful Galaxy 500 Rudy Gernreich took a shine to can be yours with a popular option package that includes vinyl interior, white walls, and wheel covers, all during the pop option sale at your Ford dealers, the place you gotta go to see what's going on. Once again, Jim Herriot.
A huge and violent low-pressure system with winds gusting to hurricane force has moved into the Florida west coast off the Gulf of Mexico. It threatens the entire state. An unofficial report of wind gusts hitting 90 miles an hour reported near St. Petersburg. Israel says Jordanian forces have fired rockets on two Israeli towns in Upper Galilee, one woman hurt. Israeli forces returned the fire. Jordan's King Hussein has accepted an invitation from Egypt's President Nasser to visit Cairo, and Egypt's foreign minister is preparing to begin a 10-day tour of six Arab nations. For more on the Middle East, Ed Scott, NBC News, Cairo.
The accumulation of menacing events again is sparking talk in Cairo of renewed warfare, with the semi-official press today giving prominence to Israel's second note of complaint to the UN Security Council within 24 hours. The notes complain about alleged Egyptian sniping across the Suez Canal against the Israelis occupying the East Bank and against the planting of mines on the East Bank. Another possible source of shooting trouble is Israel's demand that its permission be sought before the UAR proceeds with any surveys of the canal to release merchant vessels trapped by the June war. Cairo says it will ask no one's permission. Then there is President Nasser's full-scale support of the Arab commandos constantly attacking the Israelis. The Israelis say Egypt is the villain of the piece, and some early action against the UAR is believed probable. Edward Scott, NBC News in Cairo.
In the port of New York, the nation's richest, longshoremen have returned to work after accepting a new contract. Their first job, clearing the New York docks of last Sunday's snow. In other ports on the East and Gulf coasts, the dock strike continues, now nearly 2 months old. At the Vatican, Pope Paul has received astronaut and Mrs. Frank Borman and their two children. This after Borman showed a film of his trip around the moon to a gathering of cardinals and diplomats. The Bormans leave for Madrid tomorrow, last stop on their 18-day goodwill visit to Europe. More in a moment.
Fairlane stands out in automotive history as one of the most dependable cars Ford has ever built. So when you go in a Ford dealer showroom during his pop option sale, you may do a double take, because there's a Fairlane two-door hardtop decked out with wild performance-y options. Popular options like tape stripe, hood scoop, and groovy wheel covers. All in the Fairlane, all at one special low package price, all at your Ford dealer's pop option sale.
You forgot to mention extra savings on the vinyl roof.
Oh, you mean I didn't mention that gorgeous vinyl roof?
Los Angeles police have arrested four people and seized more than $1 million worth of counterfeit 10s and 20s. Federal agents indicate it may be part of a nationwide counterfeiting ring, the bogus bills described as of rather poor quality. In London, George Harrison, one of the Beatles, left a hospital today. He had his tonsils out. In Philadelphia, three bandits, not up on their religions, left a synagogue empty-handed. They demanded that 20 men at prayers inside hand over their money. But Orthodox Jews are forbidden to carry money on their Sabbath. Once again, the hour's top story. To mark the Tet Lunar New Year, the Saigon government has announced a 24-hour ceasefire beginning at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, Eastern Time. The American command says U.S. forces will observe the truce period. Jim Harriott, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour when Ford brings you NBC Monitor News. This is Monitor Music, Klaus Ogerman.
No boom, 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 boom.
What's your opinion of this? An ashtray made out of two transparent plastic lungs designed so that one lung accumulates the oily, greasy tar and nicotine from any lighted cigarette placed in the tray, while the other lung receives no smoke and remains clear. Sounds pretty grim, doesn't it? Well, it's supposed to be. It's a Salt Lake City doctor's way of influencing smokers to quit, and it's just one of the many parts of the smoking problem Monitor will be covering this weekend. I'm Gene Rayburn. To take your mind off the grimmer things for a while, here's Dean Martin with Gentle on My Mind.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that have dried up on some lines. It keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you with a gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on the columns now that binds me. Or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing nor forgiven when I walk along some railroad track and find. On the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gently on my mind. But I dip my cup of soup back from the gurgling crack and cold in some train yarn. My baby bit of rough and coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Cupped hands on a tin can, I pretend I'll hold you to my breast and find that you're waving from the back roads by the river of my memory, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
This weekend, Monitor is paying special attention to the subject of cigarette advertising on radio and television as a result of the recent ruling by the FCC, which calls for a ban on such advertising when current legislation expires. For a report on the details of these regulations, as well as an appraisal of possible congressional actions, here is Paul Duke, NBC News, Washington.
The smoking controversy is certain to be an explosive issue this session of Congress. The forces opposed to smoking are stronger than ever, and what's more, they are ready to take the offensive in an all-out fight to reduce or eliminate cigarette advertising. And for the first time, the anti-smoking lawmakers have a strategic advantage. That advantage is this. In 1965, Congress passed a bill providing that a label warning of the dangers of smoking be printed on every package of cigarettes. The law also included a provision prohibiting the government from regulating cigarette advertising. But this law expires July 1st, and if it does, the FCC will be free to ban advertising on radio and television. No one can predict what Congress will do, but the burden will be on industry forces to get the law extended. A growing number of legislators believe the law will be permitted to die, or will be revised in some way to strongly re-emphasize the dangers of smoking. Senator Charles Mathias of Maryland, who is not directly involved in the battle, gives this assessment.
I suspect that the Congress will allow the commission stand position to be unchanged. I think that this is an area of delegated authority to the commission, and unless it can be clearly proven that the commission acted on erroneous information, that there will be a very strong feeling on the part of the Congress that they'll let that stand. Now, of course, if it can be proven that the decision was made on the basis of false information or exaggerated reports, that's another case. But assuming that the evidence holds up, I believe that the ruling will hold up.
Senator Mathias is only one who believes it will be an uphill struggle for those opposed to an advertising ban. Even so, the industry still packs plenty of muscle. Southern congressmen undoubtedly will fight hard against any ban. Furthermore, the cigarette industry controls thousands of jobs, directly and indirectly, and many lawmakers will be influenced by the impact on the economy. There undoubtedly will be strong attempts to frame some kind of compromise. So, no one can predict exactly what will happen in Congress. Paul Duke, NBC News, reporting for Monitor.
In its announcement of the vote to ban advertising, the FCC stated that it was listing certain dates by which interested parties could comment, and that it wanted to give the broadcasting industry reasonable time to consider voluntary action. This would tend to reinforce the speculation that some sort of compromise actions could be effected. Monitor will continue to cover this subject through the weekend, not just in its legal aspects, but medical and social ones as well.
There were lovers in meadows when I was a young, young girl. Loving, delighting, as only young lovers can. Clinging to kisses that carry them to the sky. Where was I? Where was I? Where was I? There were lovers on mountains when I was a young. sharing those moments that started when time began. So
Whiting. And should you be asking yourself, where was I when I heard her sing Where Was I? The answer is, and will be, we trust, on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, this is Jack Hayes once again with news of what's happening around town. The Hudson Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Seymour Rubenstein, will present a free concert tomorrow, February 16th, 3 p.m. at Memorial High School, West New York, New Jersey. Restoring Spontaneity will be the subject of a lecture to be presented by Jerome Bayer, playwright, director, and critic, at the Educational Alliance, 197 East Broadway, on Tuesday, February 18th, at 8 p.m. Veterans of Foreign Wars, Memorial Post 4591, 513 Veterans Place, Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, will present on February 18th, at 7 p.m., a sports night featuring Jerry Philbin of the world champion New York Jets and Ed Cranepool of the New York Mets. And finally, the Newman Alumni Association of Long Island will hold an open house cocktail party at Stouffer's Restaurant, 1001 Franklin Avenue, Garden City, tomorrow at 5 p.m. That's February 16th. All are invited to attend.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Rayburn again, and if by chance you failed to receive so much as a single valentine yesterday, weep not. Monitor still cares. Consider this song by the Dupree's a token of affection for you.
Who makes the robin sing, my love? Oh, You'll always be my
transition from music to movies on Monitor takes place in practically the twinkling of an eye. All we have to do is utter the magic phrase. Here's Monitor's film critic, Gene Shalit.
Two war movies this week, and they couldn't be more dissimilar. Hell in the Pacific stars Lee Marvin and the celebrated Japanese actor Toshiro Mifune. They're the entire cast. A Marine is cast ashore on a lush and lonely Pacific island. That's Lee Marvin. The island is occupied by only one human. Neither man has a gun. If they had a gun, the movie would be over in 30 seconds. So the major part of the movie is the hide-and-seek between these two men, taunting each other, enslaving each other, and ultimately escaping together from the island. Together, because they discover they're soldier second, but men first. They build a raft and make it to another island, also deserted, but filled with the debris of a burned-out battle and the belongings of vanished men. Now Lee Marvin and Toshiro Mifune are getting along. They shave. They throw away their tattered clothes. They put on uniforms they find. They even spot a bottle of alcohol. So they drink. And their suspicion returns. And their hate. And their enemies again. The picture ends, but the war goes on. For a two-actor picture to work, you need a strong script, strong emotions, and very strong acting. This movie has none of that. I never cared what happened to either of them. And in the end, nothing does. It's hell in the Pacific, and it's not exactly heaven watching it either. But boring as that movie is, it's a masterpiece compared with another movie that opened this week called Play Dirty. Ever since Michael Caine took off his horn-rimmed glasses, he's flipped from one flop to another. Caine wore glasses in The Ipcress File and Alfie, and he was fine. Then off came the glasses, and Caine fell into a series of C-movies, or rather, don't-see movies. His newest is called Play Dirty. In the cast with Caine are, now pay close attention, Ali Ben-Ayed, Moshen Ben-Abdallah, Mohammed Kwoka, and Vivian Pickles. Michael Caine is in North Africa, and so are the Nazis in North Africa, and so are the British, and so is all this oil that German General Rommel needs. Who's going to blow it up? Vivian Pickles? Uh-uh. Michael Caine and a tough gang of mercenaries are going to blow it up. So they take off through the desert sand, dragging their trucks behind them, blowing up empty cans, and finally, Play Dirty comes to a no-good end. And you can say the same thing about the rest of the picture. There's only one place for Michael Caine in Play Dirty, the third movie of a double feature. This is Gene Shalit from Monitor.
Got the feeling you saw a couple of bombs there. Everybody was in their last picture but Abu Ben Adam.
This is Don McNeil. You might say I know my way around a cup of coffee, having been host of the Breakfast Club for so many years. I've seen gals drink their coffee every which way. Funny how people sort of get grooved into fixing their coffee one way or another. Some like it strong enough to melt the spoon, some with whipped cream, some like it very sweet, etc., etc. Me, I like my coffee a little sweet and with a spoonful of preem, not cream, preem, P-R-E-A-M. Strictly because Preem tastes so good in coffee. Why don't you try it? And I just know you're going to agree with me. And with millions of other people who've been using Preem for years. In fact, they had women test coffee with all kinds of creamers. And most of the time they chose Preem without knowing it. People like today's Preem. I like today's Preem. So I don't mind telling you. You ought to maybe try it sometime.
One of Peter Nero's latest, there's always something there to remind me of you. But there doesn't have to be anything to remind me that Monitor yields the microphone at this point in the hour to NBC stations all along the line. So you guys take over for a few moments there at KOA Denver Radio 85 and elsewhere. Coast to coast, Gene Rayburn, back soon.
An executive was known to throw hundreds of dollars of currency out the window to emphasize to his employees their waste and extravagance. He explained, "That's what you destroy each day through waste and carelessness. When you let money lie idle, you too literally throw money out the window because you throw away generous earnings that can be yours for the asking at the dime, the big savings bank for all New York. You can earn dividends on every dollar you deposit up to the day you withdraw, with a special day of deposit to day of withdrawal dividend account at the dime, earning the dime's latest dividend of 4.75% a year, provided you keep the account open till the end of the quarter. If you are planning reserves for the years ahead, use the dime's regular savings account, where the latest dividend is 5% a year, paid from day of deposit. Dividends on both kinds of accounts are compounded quarterly. For postage-free forms, write Savings, WNBC Radio, New York, 10020. That's Savings, WNBC Radio, New York, 10020. The Dime Savings Bank of Brooklyn, a member of the FDIC.
Problems? Don't try your patients. Try our doctor. Joyce Brothers, weeknights, 7:45 to 9 on WNBC Radio 660, New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News. Port of New York longshoremen began making up for lost time today, back to work after a 56-day strike. About 9,000 stevedores are digging through snowbound piers to load or unload 212 ships idled since December. This is a day of overtime. The men are working under terms of a new contract ratified yesterday. It provides an hourly wage and benefits boost of $1.60 over 3 years. The Soviets have again warned West Germany not to hold presidential elections in Berlin. An editorial in Pravda today threatened punishment but didn't say what steps the Russians would take if the Bonn government goes ahead with the election March 5th. West German security agents are considering whether to use a helicopter instead of a car to carry President Nixon when he visits Berlin. Official sources in the divided city say Mr. Nixon will stay in Berlin only 3.5 hours during his European tour. West German students are threatening demonstrations against the visit. There's a measles epidemic in Florida. Health officials in Jacksonville say the caseload has passed 1,200 with no signs of letting up. School children will be given measles shots tomorrow. Astronaut Wally Schirra and Army Staff Chief General William Westmoreland are in Atlantic City, New Jersey today. They'll address the 101st Annual Convention of the American School Administrators. Frank Borman, the Apollo 8 commander, visited Pope Paul today at the Vatican. They talked for 15 minutes in English. Borman described the trip around the moon. He's an Episcopalian. Police raided a Los Angeles house this morning, arrested 4 men, and seized $1 million in counterfeit $10 and $20 bills. Authorities say the fake money was of poor quality. Sanitation crews are out in full force in New York City today, cleaning up tons of accumulated garbage after the big snow. With the lion's share of the week-old snowdrifts plowed from city streets and highways, the sanitation men can finally get back to the routine of garbage collection. Mayor Lindsay says he'll put together a panel to study ways of dealing with future snowstorms. Arab guerrilla organizations say they have received reports that Israeli forces are planning a reprisal raid across the Jordan River against guerrilla bases. The organization El Fatah says the raids would be reprisals for actions taken by various Arab groups to unite under El Fatah. Cambodian military sources say 3 passengers allegedly aboard a U.S. plane downed over Cambodia have been captured along with the pilot. The sources did not say where the captured men had been taken or whether they had been injured. The latest report says the plane was shot down Wednesday and that the pilot was arrested. The weather mostly sunny and cold in New York this afternoon, high as 30 to 35. Clear and cold tonight, low around 20 in the city and in the teens in the suburbs. Tomorrow, Sunday, mostly sunny and continued cold, with a high in the mid-30s. Right now, 29 degrees and sunny in New York. And again, the top story, Port of New York longshoremen begin making up for lost time today, back to work after a 56-day strike. About 9,000 stevedores will unload 212 ships idle since December. Frank Gorin, WNBC News.
Gene Rayburn here, too, as is the exotically named Engelbert Humperdinck in one of his latest. Good thing going, so go already, Engie.
We had a good thing going, but it's all over now, girl. We had a good thing going, that is so hard to find. We fell in love, but you did. Don't make me cry. No, 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 no. We had a good thing going, but it's all over now, girl. We had a good thing going, that is so hard to find. I didn't know you.
This is Marilyn May with the one and only Ella Fitzgerald singing my Lincoln Mercury song. This is a first.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way? See, Lincoln Mercury's exciting marquee. It's pure luxury. Drive one to be a winner. Marquee is lush, handsome, roomy, and plush in a continental way. It's stunning design, really set 69. It's the hottest new line of today. Marquee makes it clear, we've got the winners this year. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Thanks, Ella Fitzgerald. It's a great way to tell everybody about Marquee, the most beautiful thing that ever happened to a medium-priced car. Marquee, at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
Now monitor sports. 19-year-old Diane Crump, an exercise girl at Gulfstream Park, this week became the first woman licensed as a jockey in the United States after she rode two horses at Hialeah. A report on monitor's open line from Guy Lebeau.
Miss Diane Crump, congratulations on getting your apprentice license as a jockey.
Thank you.
Say, now do we call you a bug boy or a bug girl?
Just call me an apprentice. That'll be easier.
Diane, in your first two races, you finished fifth and eighth. What was the reaction of the male jockeys that rode against you?
The reaction of the jockeys was real good. They thought that I rode fine, and they were all willing to ride with me the second time.
Diane, let's be honest. Did you get a horse that might more appropriately be called a dog in your first two races, or was it a really good horse?
Well, I guess some people might call him a dog. He was a long shot. He was over his head.
Actually, what's your ambition? The Derby?
Well, I'd like to win a race, and then I'd like to be the leading bug boy or apprentice at Gulfstream.
Bug boy, you said?
Well, apprentice.
Okay, now, you work at Gulfstream, but today at Hialeah, you're going to ride your first race as an actual licensed jockey in Florida, correct?
Right.
Okay. Do you think you might design different kinds of clothes for a jockey, or are you comfortable in what the males wear?
I'm comfortable in what everybody else wears.
What about response from around the country, and in particular, how are women reacting to you? Are they telling you to get married and have children and stay out of the male world and be more feminine, or just what kind of reaction are you getting?
I think the reaction I'm getting from the women is the best. All of them are all for it. I've gotten a lot of mail and phone calls from all over, and every All the reports I've gotten are real favorable.
What does your boyfriend say about your jockey career?
What does he say?
Your boyfriend.
Well, I don't have one.
Oh, so there's no problem there.
No problem there.
Again, I want to congratulate you on being the first American female jockey, and I want to congratulate you and wish you luck in your first licensed ride today at Hialeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Diane Crump. This is Guy Lebeau, NBC, Monitor Sports.
If it's true that one good turn deserves another, I wonder what two good turns at once deserve. Here simultaneously are Classical Gas and Scarborough Fair, the Alan Copeland Singers. Minutes before the hour, and if you know what's good for you, or if you want to know what's good for you, you stay on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Joe O'Brien. All I said was a radio station with music, news, weather, traffic information, and me. What more could you want? And boy, did I get told where to go.
This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you get what you want. Joe O'Brien, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
Hi, this is Charlie Brown. Are you looking for work? Well, meet your competition, high school graduates. They make up 7 out of 10 people applying for jobs. Now, just imagine you were an employer. Who would you hire? Someone who quit school or one of them? The moral? If you're in school, stay there. If you've quit, go now to your state employment service or youth opportunity center. Find out how to get more training. You'll need it. Remember the competition you're up against.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
If you suffer from nervous headaches, here's why you should try Anacin.
Everyone who works under severe strain often gets tension headaches.
Everyone knows doctors have their choice of pain relievers, but Anacin contains the one doctors recommend most for headaches.
And Anacin gives you twice as much of this as any other leading extra-strength tablet.
In minutes, pain goes, and so its nervous tension goes.
Anacin relieves pain, so relaxes its tension fast. Anacin tablets.
Have you heard about the successful treatment for hemorrhoids? Several doctors, outstanding in their profession, prove this exclusive medication gives prompt temporary relief from pain and actually shrinks hemorrhoids except in severe or persistent cases. It's called Preparation H. Yes, in most cases, Preparation H relieves pain, irritation, and causes a reduction of hemorrhoids. Remember, for best results, follow directions. Preparation H.
A distant night bird mocks the sun. I wake as I have always done. To freshly scented sycamore.
Singer who believes that when a song is over, it's over, right? Wop, Zammo, Sue Rainey there. To a serious subject now, the one on which Monitor is focusing special attention this weekend, cigarette smoking. In addition to the pros and cons on the FCC ruling against cigarette advertising, there's the actual scientific problems involved, and so Monitor asked Dr. E. Kyler Hammond, Vice President for Statistical Research for the American Cancer Society, to give his views on the relation of cigarettes to serious disease.
Cigarette smoking affects, first of all, the lungs. It affects the bronchial tubes in a way that it makes you cough. After a long period of cigarette smoking, you develop a disease called emphysema, which is a destruction of the part of the lungs where you get oxygen into the blood. With still longer smoking, you run a very great risk of dying of lung cancer. In addition to that, smoking has an effect upon the heart, and it greatly increases death rates from coronary heart disease. In addition to that, it produces certain other diseases. For example, it has an effect upon gastric ulcers. Particularly people who already have gastric ulcers, it makes this worse. We've also found that people who smoke cigarettes are considerably more likely to get into a hospital within the next several years than those people who don't smoke. It affects their health generally. One of the old wives' tale was that smoking stunts growth. When I was a boy, my father told me not to smoke, it'd stunt my growth. This is one of the few things cigarettes seem not to do that is harmful. We found that men, now adults, who started smoking when they were quite young, under 10, were just as tall on the average of those who didn't smoke.
We next asked Dr. Hammond if he could identify which substances in cigarette smoke are supposed to be the destructive ones.
Cigarettes smoke a tremendous number of different chemical agents, and quite a few of these agents can be very harmful in high dosages. carbon monoxide. Take enough and it'll kill you. The agents which will cause cancer smeared on the skin of mice. These in cigarette smokes. There are a great many such agents. At the present time, unfortunately, we do not really know which of these do the most harm in cigarette smoke. Almost everybody has their theories, their hunches, and some people argue strongly for one or strongly for the other. Personally, I can only say I don't know, and I don't think anybody's proved it.
Dr. E. Kyler Hammond, Vice President for Statistical Research for the American Cancer Society. We'll be hearing from leading figures in many different areas of the cigarette controversy throughout the weekend. Doctors, psychologists, smoking control specialists, laymen. It's a vital subject. Keep up with it by staying with Monitor. Monitor Music now. Frankie Lane, You Gave Me a Mountain.
In the heat of the desert, my mother died, giving me life. Deprived of the love of a father, blamed for the loss of his wife. You know, Lord, I've been in a prison for something that I've never done. It's been one hill after another, but I've climbed them all one by one. But this time, Lord, you gave me a mountain. A mountain I may never climb. And it isn't a hill any longer. You gave me a mountain this time. My woman got tired of the hardships, tired of the grief and the strife, so tired of working for nothing, tired of being my wife. She took my one ray of sunshine, she took my pride and my joy. She took my reason for living. She took my small baby boy. So this
problems described in songs are pretty easy to accept and slough off, but there are too many real problems in the world to be ignored. The Peace Corps urges those of you who will be graduated from college soon to consider spending a couple of years helping solve some of those problems. For people who haven't your advantages, write to the Peace Corps, Washington, D.C.
Peace Corps.
Alpert's Tijuana Brass with Monday Monday. And did you know that Monday, that this Monday is the beginning of the Chinese New Year, number 4667? It's the year of the rooster, so we give the traditional Chinese greeting, cock-a-doodle-doo, and then advise you to stay tuned for NBC Monitor News on the hour. Gene Rayburn here. Anybody see my egg roll?
Unfair housing isn't unfair, it's illegal. This is Herbie Mann. If anybody has refused to rent or sell you a house or apartment because you were black or yellow, Puerto Rican, Jewish, whatever, he is breaking the Fair Housing Law of 1968. What you can do is write to Fair Housing, Washington, D.C., zip code 20410. When the law says anybody can live anywhere, the law means anywhere. Unfair housing isn't unfair. It's illegal.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.